The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, in my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us today from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and he saw him, and he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. And so he approached the victim. He poured oil and wine on his wounds, and he bandaged them. And then he left him up, and then he lifted him up on his own animal and took him to an inn and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave him to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. And if you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of the 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" And he answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. As I said, to understand the full meaning of the parable of the Good Samaritan, that one needs to be aware of the Jewish hierarchical society of that time. The priest, the Levite, and the ordinary Israelite or layperson were the familiar triad of that society. And sacred persons and places and things were rigorously separated from the profane. Those who belonged to Israel, insiders, were sharply distinguished from those who were out, the outsiders. Samaritans, you need to know the history of that, but I can't go into it at length, but the Samaritans were not only looked upon as outsiders, but as the mortal enemies of the nation of Israel and apostates from the Jewish religion. You see, they derived from the northern tribes of Israel, and they had split off from the rest of the nation during King David's reign. And a rabbi text of the time states this, quote, "One who eats the food of Samaritans is eating the food of swine." Thus equating Samaritans as apostates from Judaism. So for the original audience who heard this parable of Jesus, a Samaritan was the epitome of ultimate corruption and hated, despised. And so, as the parable begins, we hear that a traveler from Jerusalem to Jericho, presumably a Israelite, has been beaten up by robbers, and he's left half dead by the roadside. And so along comes various representatives of the hierarchical structure of that society. Think today of bishops and priests. A priest, the highest one, sees the man and he passes by. Then the Levite, the second rung, a step down on the hierarchical ladder, he sees them and passes by. So the hearers of the parable, they wouldn't identify with these two people and their merciless conduct. So they wouldn't identify with those two. But neither would they be inclined to identify with the victim who was beaten up. So the buildup of the suspense focuses on who is the next person coming down the road. Who's that going to be? And given the values of the Jewish society of the time, it has to be an Israelite layperson who will appear in the role of a hero and bind up the wounds of this injured man. Then the hearers will all go home reinforced in their cultural mindsets. He's one of us. So the plot is designed to encourage the expectation of an Israelite savior. That's the plot. But who shows up coming down the road? A Samaritan, the mortal enemy of the Jewish nation and religion. And so after the shock, the initial shock, their first thoughts were probably, oh, he's surely going to finish off this poor guy. He'll do him in. The Samaritan, however, starts ministering to the wounded man, pouring oil and wine on his wounds. And he takes the injured man and he to an inn, and he pays for his stay. And there the story ends, leaving those who heard it without anybody in the story to identify with. They can't identify with the priest and the Levite or the victim, and it would totally be inconceivable for them, most of them, to identify with that Samaritan. I mean, that would be to accept the compassion and service of their mortal enemy. It's an impossible choice. And so for the hearers, the story must simply be untrue or make no sense. Fake news. You see, the message that's being communicated in this parable is that the kingdom of God knows no political, nationalistic, or religious boundaries. The old maps of Israelite society are not relevant for this new kingdom that Jesus is preaching. So in the kingdom that Jesus is preaching, there are no rigid barriers or walls or fences between insiders and outsiders. But more shockingly still is that the temple in Jerusalem, you see, that was the center of the sacred in the mind, in the popular mind. So that is no longer the sole criterion for holiness. In the person of the Good Samaritan, the former universally accepted and unquestioned social and religious boundaries are all swept away. How compassionate one is the new criterion for holiness. Not whether you went to the temple or not. Not whether you went to church or not. Not whether you believe this or that or profess that creed or this creed or whatever it may be. No. How compassionate are you? You know, favorite practice of the ancient Mediterranean culture was to set up criteria. And the church has done it, and our country does it, for deciding who's in and who's out. In the kingdom that Jesus revealed, there is no way of deciding who is an insider and who is an outsider. There's no way. This teaching must have sounded incredible for the people of that time. And even today. For some people who, they don't know any other categories of judgment than the accepted social and religious distinctions. What does my church say? What does the government say? Whatever. The great insight of Christianity was that the kingdom of God is open to everyone. The implication of Jesus' teachings are especially apt in our time, in our day. Especially when it seems there's a lot of xenophobia going on, ethnocentricity and nationalism and fear. It's all around us, it seems. Not only that, but because humanity now is moving towards a global society with interaction among peoples in every conceivable way. Economics, socially, politically, religiously. You see, the interiorization of Jesus' teaching about the unity of the human family as the most urgent expression of God's will must upstage every other value and consideration. Nothing should go before that. There's no value greater than that. We are all brothers and sisters. There is one God and one family, human family. Otherwise, violence, denial, hypocrisy, you name it. I mean, we see it all around us. I wonder if the first hearers of the kingdom of Jesus preached, if they ever really understood the kingdom of God, would they have, unless one who came down the road was a Samaritan instead of that expected Israelite? I wonder if they would. I think not. And will we ever overcome our various forms of denial of our racism and our prejudices and our biases unless we are confronted by opposition or tragedy? It appears we will not. You see, the kingdom of God may be most active in what is most unacceptable to us. You see, the grace God brings us, I think, to an ever-increasing awareness that under certain circumstances, we, our church, our country, are all capable of every kind of evil, it appears. And the kingdom of God seeks to enter our lives just as they are. Because God wants to show mercy. God wants us to take down the walls and the fences and the useless barriers of every kind that separate us and divide us as one human family. This is the message of the Samaritan, of the person or event that appears to us to be unmitigated evil, the master disguise in which God enters our lives in its fullest possible manner. So Jesus' parables in the end leave the hearers with unresolved questions. The parable of the Good Samaritan asks the question, what is your idea of the kingdom of God? Jesus' idea of the kingdom did not match the popular one of his time. It was radically new and unacceptable for most. In his view, the social map of first century Palestinian culture was no longer suitable as a vehicle for transmitting the kingdom of God. Where does it leave us? Perhaps with the question, do I really want to live in the kingdom of God? To enter the kingdom of God is to move beyond social expectations, beyond political ideologies, beyond policies that may discriminate and don't value the dignity of every human being as a child of God. You see, Jesus identifies the action of the kingdom with the compassion of the Samaritan. And the fact that the Samaritan is not converted seems to suggest that the kingdom is not limited to religious attitudes and mindsets. Moreover, our own in our church and our country's supposedly enemies, they may turn out to be our greatest benefactors. That was the shock of this gospel, this message. And according to the parable, the kingdom of God has no fixed social, ethnic, racial, nationalistic, economic, or religious boundaries. You see, the Abba, the God whom Jesus reveals, is the God of the human race as a family. Everyone must be concerned about everybody else. For everyone is a beloved child of God. Everyone is our neighbor. Not only our neighbor, but is our brother and sister in Christ. And that should matter more than anything else. So, in the end, it looks like unconditional love is the name of the game. Are you in? Or are you out? You know, no one said it would be easy to follow Jesus, to live out his radical message. Nobody said it would be easy. I think sometimes we'd just rather worship him.